Heads up, friends. The unofficial Shopify podcast is made by indie entrepreneurs for indie entrepreneurs and may contain material not suitable for all audiences, like swearing or economics. Listener discretion is advised. My friends, welcome back to the unofficial Shopify podcast. Today, we are going to talk about mushrooms. Yes, we're talking about mushrooms. We're talking about supplements. We've got another supplement episode. But all right, here's what's interesting. If you go on Google Trends and you do a search for mushroom, you see Google will give it a score 0 to 100. And it'll go from like mid-30s up to 75, 80 by this year. And it happens over the last like 3 years. And then if you do mushroom supplement, the change becomes even more dramatic. So clearly Google Trends is identifying a trend here, right? And that's a little bit of what I want to get into is like, how do these things happen? How do people get interested in, you know, a particular category? And then how do they make it a supplement? Well, to figure that out, we have a couple who has done just that. We've got Jake Melman and Stephanie Moyal from Troop, trytroop.com. And I want to hear that story. We're going to go over it with them. I'm your host, Kurt Elster.
Jack Nasty.
And Jake, Stephanie, thank you for joining me.
Yeah, thank you
Thanks for having us.
So, okay, the website is trytroop.com. What does it sell?
We are functional mushroom gummies. We have three products. We have a lion's mane, a reishi, and a six mushroom blend called the Super Troop.
And I like the name, but I saw in the footer of the website, Troop is what?
Troop means a group of mushrooms is the name for Troop. So that's how we came up with it, because we really wanted to build community into the ethos of our company. So Troop is a group of mushrooms, is a troop of mushrooms. So we like to say we're all one big troop.
So a murder of crows, a troop of mushrooms.
Yes. Yep.
When did you start Troop?
We launched Troop at the beginning of 2022, but we started working on it about a year and a half before that. During the pandemic is a time that our collective consciousness really was shifted towards health and wellness. It was forcibly shifted there because health and wellness was all we had during that time. So, that really got us thinking about it. It got a lot of people thinking about it. And mushrooms kind of had this resurgence during that time.
It feels truthy. It feels like, if I'm remembering that correctly, that was the case. I remember there were like a lot of supplements, a lot of just health focused stuff at that time, for sure. And okay, how did the two of you cross paths?
Jake and I are cousins, so we crossed paths a long time ago.
At Thanksgiving?
Yeah. Thanksgiving, you know, Friday night dinners. The story starts because at the very beginning of COVID, Jake got into a ski accident and broke his knee.
Ouch.
Yes.
Yeah, and it was really bad. It was a total leg break, shatter, whole thing.
How much hardware is in your leg?
A good amount, actually. Yeah, I got a scar that goes halfway up my leg.
Okay, so you were in a skiing accident and then mushrooms?
Yep. Yeah. Skiing accident led to just my whole life collapsing from the ski accident. I was running another business that totally collapsed at that moment. And I moved in with my parents because I couldn't take care of myself. My leg was broken. My business was going under. It was a whole terrible situation. Stephanie moved in with my parents to help take care of me. She was in the hospitality industry, and that also was shut down. So moved in to my parents' house, and for a number of weeks. We just watched Netflix like everyone else. And then
what was the show we all watched? Tiger King.
Yeah, we did watch that.
We watched all,
we went through all of the phases. The baking phase, Stephanie went through that a bit.
I learned to make pizza. That was my baking phase. I still make my own dough. Yeah.
Sorry. Yeah. I was going to say, one day Stephanie just said to you, "Hey, do you want to grow some mushrooms with me?" And, I said, sure. You know, I didn't know all that much about mushrooms. But that's kind of what really got us started. And then we started growing mushrooms in the closet, like any traditional,
like a normal person does,
mushroom story. Yeah, exactly. We really discovered this whole universe, this fungi verse, which has been incredible to learn about, and all of these health benefits and functions that can heal your brain and your body and all these different things. And we just found so much passion in it. And Stephanie could tell you more of her side of the story here. It's just really took off from there.
Stephanie, let's hear your half.
Yeah, I just remember asking Jake if he wanted to grow mushrooms, and he said yes. And then we started and we taught ourselves pretty much everything. Reddit was a really big resource, and just random blogs, because there's really not that much information out there when it comes to this, or at the time there wasn't as much. So it was just really fun, and it just really organically changed our lives. We didn't start this with the intention of creating a company. We just did it because it sounded really interesting and cool and fun. And then we started sharing what we were learning and loving with our community, and everyone wanted some. And so we were like, how do we share this in a way that really resonates with us? And when we went to our local Erewhon Whole Foods stores, we saw that everything was very mystical and ceremonial when it came to mushrooms. And it was almost like not approachable, because you would see these elixirs and these potions and all of this stuff. And it just kind of felt like, okay, I'm not ready for this, or I don't want this gross tasting tincture or whatever. So we just decided, or Jake had the idea of doing gummies, and we started making our own gummies and failed miserably. Yeah, we made horrible, horrible gummies and kept trying, and then ended up hiring a gummy scientist to actually create our product for us. And then, yeah, the rest is kind of history.
So we've talked to probably two other people on the show who've manufactured gummy supplements. And yeah, getting gummy supplements, like, it seems like a good idea, but you're just adding so much complexity to that supplement process. You know, on top, like, first you got to get the supplement right, but putting it in a capsule, like, that's just a manufactured thing I buy. And I get powder, I can put it in a capsule, versus like gummy, and we're just really stepping up complexity here. To your point earlier, I heard this before, but I Googled it, and there are several studies that say neuroplasticity and psychedelics correlate. And so psilocybin in mushrooms can potentially promote synaptic plasticity. So you'd mentioned neuroplasticity before. What is it?
It's basically your brain creating new connections and new ways of thinking. And that's with psilocybin mushrooms, which is the magic mushroom. So we're on the functional side, so no psychoactive compounds. But on the psilocybin side, we find it really interesting, because we do think it's part of the future of medicine, for sure. When you look at depression and anxiety, addiction, your brain is thinking in these patterns, in these same ways of thinking. So you're just repeating these thought patterns over and over and over. And doing psilocybin enables you to think of things differently. The best metaphor I ever heard was, if you imagine a mountain and you're skiing down the mountain, you're creating these grooves, those are the grooves that your brain is thinking. But when you do mushrooms, it's a new snowfall on the mountain, and you're able to create a new path down the mountain.
From what I've read, that's an accurate analogy, right? It is, you get stuck, unknowingly you get stuck in these thought loops And oftentimes that's what like depression and anxiety could be. And being able to break those and get you out of these familiar patterns that you didn't even know were causing you these issues. But that's a psychoactive version of mushrooms. Those are magic mushrooms. I take those and like my curtains turn into a beautiful rainbow pattern. It's pretty consistent that my curtains do this. These are like some curtains when you're on mushrooms. Very fond of those curtains. But that's not what you sell. You're selling non-psychoactive. So think like THC versus CBD. You've got the CBD version, right, of mushrooms.
So it's the reason we say it's different than that is that, you have the cannabis plant and you are pulling out different compounds from it. These are completely different mushrooms altogether. We're not like taking the psychoactive mushrooms and taking one compound and leaving out the others. These are totally different mushrooms. So mushrooms are actually not plants. This is a common misconception that people think mushrooms are plants. Mushrooms are part of the fungi kingdom, which is its own kingdom entirely. Like there's the plant kingdom, the animal kingdom, and there's the fungi kingdom. Yeah, exactly.
I made a whole movie about it with Chris Pratt. It was great.
I know we're trying to ride the hype of all the different mushroom content out there like that, because it powers you up. It really does, taking the mushroom. Yeah, these are completely separate mushrooms than psychoactive mushrooms. So for instance, like lion's mane is a mushroom that it actually looks kind of like a brain. It's shaped like a brain, and it's been used for thousands of years, actually, in medicines all around the world to reduce inflammation of the body, to improve focus, to improve gut health, all these different things that people have used these mushrooms for, that are not psychoactive, but they are really powerful in these powerful medicines. And yeah, they're completely separate from the psychoactive mushrooms.
All right, let's go back. You're both at home, you're growing mushrooms in your parents' closet. How do we get to business out of this? You're like, all right, then you're like, we should put these in gummies. When is the business decision occur? By the time you're putting them in gummies, I have to think we're starting to try and build a product here.
Yeah, we were building a product, but we never thought about it in terms of a business, honestly. We just wanted to like have a product to share with our community because a lot of people wanted them.
Yeah, I remember the turning point, actually. So Jake and I were just kind of continuing these steps, just serving our community, our friends and family with these gummies. And Jake actually was still working on his other company. And I went to go see one of my friends, and his dad is a very successful entrepreneur. And I was telling him about what we were doing and just, I said we were taking things really slow and just seeing what happened. And he said to me, you guys have a really incredible opportunity right now and you have a really incredible product and you need to run. Don't walk, you need to run. And I remember leaving his house and calling Jake in the car. And I was like, Jake, we need to run. We need to write a business plan and get this going and we need to run. And he's like, oh shit, okay, let's do it. And so that was kind of the catalyst, honestly, of us really getting things together and making this more of a professional undertaking.
You needed that external validation. Oftentimes it takes, like, you can have a thought, but we all second guess ourselves. We're all our own worst enemy. It took having someone, I assume you respected, who was a business person saying, yes, you should do this. And when you have someone, who's done the thing you're trying to do, go, yeah, do that. Suddenly, that, it lights a fire, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, once you've said, all right, we're going to do this, let's make this a business. Where do you go from there? Right? You've got mushroom experience, belief and thoughts. You're trying to figure out gummies. And you've got someone you respect who believes in you.
Yeah.
What's next?
So we wrote a business plan and then we started working on how do we bring this product to life? So there's so many different components to this. There's the ingredients of the product itself. There's sourcing the mushrooms itself. We ended up going with a custom formulation because we wanted complete control and quality over all of our ingredients. And that proved to be extremely difficult. However, we did it regardless. I think looking back, we chose the path of most resistance, honestly. Most companies wouldn't do what we did. We got a custom mold. We sourced all of our ingredients ourselves. We sourced our mushroom products ourselves. We researched pretty much every single mushroom farm in America, every wholesale mushroom extractor, and we did testing on everything to make sure that we got the best product. And then there's, you know, the bottle. We wanted our bottle. We wanted everything to be sustainable, no virgin plastics. So we've sourced 100% recycled plastic bottles, 100% recycled plastic caps. We wanted to make sure they were printed with sustainable inks, the whole nine yards. All of our boxes are made from recycled cardboard. We really just wanted to put out a product that we could stand behind and did do with integrity. So it was all of the pieces. And then, you know, you have to find your fulfillment center and all of those things. So it was just basically taking it one step at a time and then doing each step or finding the best partner for each step.
Hey, Shopify sellers, listen up. Get ready to unleash your creativity with the brand new landing page builder from Zipify Pages. This isn't just Zipify's biggest update ever. It's a revolution in building Shopify store designs. Say goodbye to clunky designs and hello to total customization. With Zipify's new builder, you're the boss of every pixel on your site. Drag, drop, swap elements, it's all in your hands to craft the most effective layout for conversions. Zipify Pages come straight from the founder of a $180 million e-com empire. These templates aren't just pretty, they've been tested in the arena with a nine-figure Shopify store. And it's easy to use. A few clicks and your product pages, marketing pages, blog pages, even your homepage will be looking sharp and conversion optimized for maximum sales. And because these templates are tested in a nine-figure Shopify store first, you know they actually work. So why settle for the standard when you can have a site that's uniquely yours? You could try Zipify Pages in their brand new builder for free for 14 days when you go to zipify.com/Kurt. That's zipify.com/KURT to try Zipify Pages for free. And if you tried Pages in the past and thought it wasn't for you, you owe it to yourself to try it again because the new Zipify Pages is a game changer. Zipify.com/Kurt. Check it out. So, all right, you got to source the mushrooms from mushroom farms. What is that? What are you looking for in like a good versus a bad product? Because I really have no idea what I'm looking at with mushrooms. I'd be like, yeah, that's probably a mushroom. Like, that's as far as we'd get.
It's like the Wild West of mushrooms right now. Like, people are just putting all kinds of stuff in and calling it mushrooms. So it is definitely important to know the difference. And that's something that we want to be educating people on. And since neither of us really came from e-com marketing backgrounds, we didn't know how to do that in the beginning. And now we're starting to finally learn and actually doing that customer education. But basically, some major differences that you want to look for are what's called fruiting body versus mycelium. I would say this is the first major difference you want to look for in a mushroom product. The fruiting body is the part of the mushroom that you would think of when you think of a mushroom. Like, it grows above the ground, you see it, it looks like a mushroom. And then underneath that is called the mycelium. And that is like the root structure of the mushroom, and the fruiting body grows on that root structure. So in the wild, that's usually underground. It's these massive areas of mycelium that grow underground and that pop up these little fruiting body mushrooms. So what a lot of companies have done now is they will grow mushrooms. Mushrooms need like something to eat, some kind of like grain or food, let's say rice they can grow it on. So they will grow the mycelium on this grain or rice. And then from that, you get the fruiting body. So the fruiting body grows, but the fruiting body is maybe like 10% of the mass of all the mycelium. So what they will do is they will take the entire block of mycelium with all the rice in it and maybe like one or two fruiting body mushrooms, and they'll throw the whole thing in a blender and they'll blend it all up, and then they'll call that mushrooms because it's mycelium mushroom blend. So what you're really getting,
they're putting their thumb on the scale.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So what you're really getting is a ton of rice and starch and stuff that has no bioavailable compounds or any health benefits whatsoever, but it's significantly cheaper. It's like 10x cheaper because the mass is so much versus what you get versus the fruiting body. So when you get fruiting body, you know that you're getting only the real mushrooms. Like you're only getting mushrooms. There's no mycelium. There's no grain. There's no rice. So that's the, I would say, the first and biggest thing to look for. And that's what our company does, is we use the whole fruiting body. And then on top of that, you need an extraction. So a lot of these mushrooms have these tough cell walls that hold in all of the bioavailable compounds. So what you actually can't digest a lot of the compounds from the mushrooms just by ingesting it straight. So if you were to eat like reishi, for instance, some people would even get like a stomach ache because you can't digest it. So it needs to be extracted. And there's multiple levels of extraction that are necessary to pull out all of the beneficial materials in the mushrooms. So we always recommend at least a 2x, two times extraction, a double extraction, a hot water and alcohol extraction. And we go even further and do a triple extraction just to make it even more concentrated and to pull out even more active compounds from the mushrooms. So I would say those two are the most important to look for in a mushroom product.
How are you doing the extract? You said a hot water and alcohol triple extraction.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So each mushroom is, before the extraction, heated up to a temperature that has been proven by studies which temperature it needs to be. Like all six mushrooms that we use have a different temperature. So they're heated up, and then there's a hot water alcohol extraction to get the fat and water soluble compounds out. And then they do an ultrasonic process as well. Our extractors actually are getting a patent on their methods. They won't release it until their patent is out, but it is patent pending and proprietary. And not only are they getting out two of the most common bioavailable compounds known as beta-glucans, polysaccharides, and triterpenes, but they're also getting hundreds of other compounds per each mushroom. So there's so much more to the mushroom than what we even know right now. The testing industry of mushrooms is evolving every day because we're constantly learning new things to test about mushrooms and all of these new bioavailable compounds.
So we got to source a quality mushroom, which also includes, like, you know, we can't have filler with it because right. We need the core product, because we're interested in, you know, we're putting this into gummies. We need to extract the good stuff, mm-hmm. but we need to do a broad full spectrum extraction if possible. So, and without destroying the things we're extracting.
Exactly.
So, I don't know, hot water at 175 degrees Fahrenheit sounds about right.
Exactly.
With like water alcohol mix. Then once we get that, aha, we have our active ingredients. Now you've got to get that into a gummy. How big a pain in the ass is that?
Huge.
It's a huge one, actually.
Huge. Yeah, it would be much easier to just sell this straight. Like you said, you know, we just put this in a capsule.
But then it would be, or sell it straight, then it would be the tincture.
Then it would be a tincture.
That's like, that's intimidating.
Yes.
Inconvenient to measure and dose.
Yeah, and just doesn't taste very good.
Probably not.
So we went through maybe six manufacturers within a year before we landed on the one that we're currently with. It almost crippled us. We almost went out of business with all of these different horror stories. We had our first company tell us that they were going to be able to do it, no problem. And then, you know, we were waiting for like 6 months, and then they needed a special piece of equipment, and then the equipment came and they still couldn't do it. So we left them, and it's just a huge saga. And we actually
got... That's how a lot of people's manufacturing experiences go.
I mean, yeah.
Heard similar stories on the show many times. It's like it's so hard.
It's so hard because when you're small, these companies don't really care about you. And when you're doing a custom formula, we're doing it on such low quantities that it didn't, you know, incentivize these manufacturers to put us first. They didn't really care about us. unless you're ordering millions and millions of pieces, you're kind of nothing to these companies. So you have to find someone that actually believes in your vision and cares about your product, which is what we finally did. But at first, I mean, we got courted by a company. They wanted us to go to them. They found us, and they ended up signing a huge mushroom competitor and completely taking us off their production queue without telling us. And we were waiting for a month sold out of product, just waiting for them to make it. And they were meanwhile producing our competitors' products.
And this is not an unusual, like that sounds, it's bad. It sounds bad, but it's not an unusual story for people who have worked, who've been, you know, in similar positions working with manufacturers. How'd you finally find one that's good? You said it was like number six.
So we didn't know this, but there's actually brokers in the industry that help you find manufacturers. So I had reached out to a friend who has a mushroom farm, and he said he knew someone, and he was acting as a broker. I didn't realize that he was trying to actually make money off of our deal. So he upsold us on the bottle cost. But then we had another manufacturer. It's so convoluted, but we had another manufacturer who wanted to help us but couldn't. And he said, go to this company, they should be able to help you. And then that company was like, oh, I just got your PO, your purchase order on my desk. This is the price that I can give it to you for. And it was cheaper than my friend who had referred us. So luckily, we got to the source. But yeah, it's been good ever since. But we really worked for it.
And that's you had to go through just trials of,
yeah,
everything, you know, they say they could do it. We think they could do it. The samples look good. Go. And then it's like, oh, well, you got to wait. Oh, we missed that deadline again. Oh, we need this. Oh, well, you know, we have to manufacture some for someone bigger than you. So you just got bumped. And like, you know, you go through those by the time the third round, you're like already looking for the next manufacturer.
And not only that, but you're shipping all of your stuff everywhere.
All your ingredients. Yeah, because we also use all custom ingredients, which was also a nightmare. So we're like shipping our custom ingredients back and forth across the country, manufacturer. Yeah, our bottles and our stupid molds that we use.
Oh my God.
Oh, yeah. How much did the molds cost to get made?
I'm embarrassed to say that. Thousands.
Yeah, it was like $30,000. And we're the only company with molds in the entire industry because and it makes sense why.
It's so difficult to use.
It's extremely difficult to have a custom shape of your gummy. So our gummies, you'll see, have this little mushroom stamp on them.
Yeah, every it looks gummy. Good.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that. Yeah, it has cost us hell to get that. And you know, what we really wanted at the beginning, why we did that was because, like I said, it's the Wild West of mushrooms and people are just putting garbage in their products. So we wanted a stamp, a literal stamp on every gummy showing that, hey, if you see this stamp, it means there's quality mushrooms in here. So when you see this stamp, you know you're getting high quality, trusted, tested mushrooms. And that was, an extreme challenge to do. Because every manufacturer just wants to use their own mold that they already have that fit their setup. And it's way cheaper and easier to just use the standard gummies that they already have. And that's why everyone else has everyone else in the mushroom gummy industry right now has the same gummy. They're actually using almost all of them the exact same gummy. Not even like a different formula, the actual same gummy. And they just brand it differently. And so we're like the one and only company. We have our own custom molds and flavors and everything. So we hope customers will see that at some point here.
So hopefully. So you never know. Well, it's like, it's up to you to tell the story.
It is hard
about it.
Yeah. We've not been very good at storytelling as of yet, but we're starting to really get into that and share our journey.
Today's episode is sponsored in part by IntelliGems, the game-changing A-B testing tool for Shopify merchants aiming for peak profitability. Think about all the effort and time and resources and energy you pour into driving traffic to your store.
IntelliGEMS is your key to strategic, data-driven decision-making. With IntelliGEMS, you're not just tweaking your store, you're unlocking understanding to find out what really resonates with your customers. Test everything, from your site's theme to your pricing strategy. It's about understanding what works and what's fluff. This isn't just about changing a color scheme or adjusting a price tag. It's about real-time insights that directly impact your bottom line. Join over 1,000 Shopify merchants who've already optimized their stores with IntelliGEMS. It's fast to set up, and the results speak for themselves. Stop guessing. Start optimizing. Visit IntelliGEMS.io/Kurt. Use code Kurt, K-U-R-T, for your discount, and transform the way your Shopify store performs today. You have the Shopify store, trytroop.com. Do you also sell on marketplaces?
Yeah, we're on Poosh, which is Kourtney Kardashian's platform. We are on a lot of different platforms like that. Love.com is another one. Chill.com. There's so many marketplaces that we're on, and we're also sold on Amazon. And then we have some retail in Southern California as well.
Oh, we got retail going on as well.
Yeah, we quickly learned not to expand that too fast.
Yeah.
What's the struggle with retail?
It's just such a volume play. You really have to be selling in such large quantities, and you have to go into a big store like Whole Foods, for instance, you need brand recognition because they'll require you to sell a certain amount of product a month. So you need people going and looking for your product or having seen your product and having some sort of brand identity, because you need to support a certain velocity, like people buying X amount of products per month. So we decided...
Yeah, they want that sell-through rate.
Yeah.
And if you don't meet it, they're like, okay, get off the shelf.
Exactly. Yeah. And so we actually never even tried to go into those larger stores because we wanted to be prepared. And you have to also give out so much free product when you go into those stores. You have to free fill. So your first order, usually, you have to give for free to the stores.
And
yeah,
then that could be like hundreds of thousands of dollars of inventory free that you must fill their stores.
Man.
Yeah. And then you have to pay for marketing as well. You have to pay a marketing budget to the stores. So we heard very early on that this has crippled other direct-to-consumer brands. So we decided we were just going to go to some strategic Southern California retailers because that's where we are. We're both in LA. And we, Jake and I, have done so many in-store demos where we bring our setup to the stores and we talk to customers and we share our story, share about the product. And it's really impactful. However, it's very difficult to scale that, and it's expensive to scale that. So we wanted to keep it very, very small. So then as we scale digitally and our brand presence grows, then we can start to transfer that to in-store retail presence.
I love when people get to go sell their product in-store, not in-store, like at events usually.
Yeah.
Face-to-face.
Yeah.
What are some of the... Is there anything that has surprised you that you learned when you get to talk to people one-on-one, face-to-face like that about your product?
That's a good question.
I guess it wasn't really a surprise, but the amount of people who ask, are these psychedelic? And I was like, would I be giving this to you in a store on a Tuesday afternoon if they were psychedelic? You know, like, which I always found interesting. But yeah, that's the number one thing that people wonder, like, is this psychedelic mushrooms? I'm like, unfortunately not. I wish I could be, but not yet.
And on your homepage, I see that is, that's an FAQ question, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah, FAQ. Wait, these are mushrooms. They're not going to make me trip, right? That's on the site. Yeah, I imagine you get that a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So how did you... I think the hard part is going 0 to 100. How do you get the first 100 orders? Like, where's the first order coming from? What, you know, early on, how'd you get the word out?
I think it's a lot of the network effect. I mean, we have a huge family, so it was definitely our family really supporting us, especially at the beginning, buying the products, telling their friends, all that kind of stuff. We did a lot of events at the beginning of the company as well. Like Jake said, we did not come from e-com background, so we got to the online advertising game later than looking back we probably would have done.
Focused all on e-com if we could go back. not to it, the in-person stuff was great and it was fun and everything, but it just doesn't move the needle at all in terms of sales.
Yeah, we thought people would really want to try the product before buying it, so we really invested in sampling and in demos and events and things like that. However, the consumer mindset is shifting. People are buying perfumes online without smelling them. People are buying couches online without sitting on them. So people are really accustomed to buying things without trying them. And we do have a money-back guarantee on our website. So if you don't like it for any reason, we'll refund you. So it's a risk-free purchase. And so, yeah, we learned that. I mean, the thing that I will credit us to is that we failed a lot, but we fail fast. We fail fast, we learn fast, and we just keep going and we iterate and we learn. And I think that is what ultimately makes someone successful, is their ability to learn from their mistakes and just keep going.
For sure. On the site, you offer these with subscription, right?
Yes.
Have you found selling subscriptions to be harder than you thought?
Sometimes, yeah. Sometimes, no.
Yeah, I would say no. We actually don't push so hard on the subscription aspect. People opt for it. We have a really great retention rate with our customers, which is showing us that customers love our product. They stay with us for over 6 months and on average, which is huge for the industry. And yeah, we just have a really, I think it's been more of a natural thing that we do want to push a little bit harder.
You know, it just represents such a larger commitment. So it's like it's a much bigger ask of the customer, subscription versus one-time purchase. I think it's harder than people realize to sell subscriptions. But a consumable good that you like, for the right person, the convenience of that subscription is like an absolute must have. What do you know what app you use for subscriptions out of curiosity?
We use Recharge.
Recharge? The classic. Yeah. That's a big one.
The classic, yeah.
Any other beneficial Shopify apps or tools? This site looks really good.
Thank you. I built it.
Oh, really? I assumed this was an agency that did it. It's an excellent job.
Just pick up and learn. That's basically all this business is. You just literally pick something up, learn it, and then do it. I think it's necessary. And I think it was only until I actually learned how to build the website myself when the website started performing well. We did have an agency doing it before and it was not working. It was full of bugs and issues and everything. And then when I started doing it, I was able to actually really learn what we needed and how the actual website funnel worked and all the different apps. And yeah, so there definitely are some incredible apps. I would say Rebuy is the single.
I was going to say.
Yeah.
I just added an item to cart, drawer cart popped open, and I know it well. I was like, that's Rebuy Smart Cart.
Yeah. Rebuy, I would say, is, for any listeners, is the single essential tool that you must have on your Shopify store. It will significantly increase revenue and average order value and everything. Other than that, I'm trying to think of any other ones that are really critical.
What about that one that texts the customers Lively or Lifetimely or something like that?
Oh, yeah. That one is pretty good. There are a number of solutions doing this now, but it's like an anonymous abandoned cart text message company that called Live Recover. You know them?
Yeah. No, I've not personally used it, but other people have been like, oh, have you seen this? This is really good. What does it do exactly? Let's just go ahead and give them the free plug while we're here.
Sure. Yeah. And if they hear this, maybe they can give us a discount. But they basically they have a massive data set. They probably work with a data provider and they match when someone comes with cookies on, they match their web presence to this other data provider, and that allows them to get their phone number in a way that they've already consented to receive marketing on that phone number. And so they will then be able to send a text message to that person. So if a anonymous visitor is on your website and they go to checkout, and then they abandon cart. It's not everyone, but it is some people. So they will send them an SMS message and just say like, hey, this is blank from Troop. Like, are you interested in this product? Let's see if we can get you a discount. And it has a really good conversion rate. I think it's like 18% of the people that they message come back and convert. So it's been really great. But we're now trying out some new solutions for this. We apparently could send even more abandoned carts, and we'll see. But so far, the new solutions have not panned out. So this one's been good, yeah.
Yeah, it's a category called customer identity resolution, where like through a data broker, they're able to figure out like, yeah, this is probably who this is. And like retention.com will do it with email. And so we've done that, and that it's been successful. And so I would assume that LiveRecover would be similarly successful. That makes sense. Currently, what do you find? How do you market the products? Like, what do you find are the general effective channels or strategies here?
Really, Meta is the biggest channel for sure. Like,
we all live and die by Zuckerberg.
Yeah, he holds our lives in his hands for real. And when the algorithm changes, you know, like the CPMs or the cost to reach 1,000 people goes up, like our efficiency immediately decreases. So it really is so just in the hands of the algorithm, which is like the worst part about this is that it is so much in the hands of the algorithm. So that is another reason actually why we're going on all of these podcasts, is to like start getting word out to a different group of people, educated listeners, who are willing to like spend an hour listening to and learning about something versus like the quick Meta, like take this and you'll feel this, you know? Because I do see, and it's across the industry, that the efficiency of Meta ads is declining all the time, and it's getting harder and harder to be successful on Meta. But if you can be successful on Meta, if you can crack the Meta code, you have like basically limitless potential, because the market is just so massive on Meta. So if you can crack that, you can just literally one click jump from 100,000 a month to 1 million a month to 10 million a month, basically. And there's just so much available market. So that's what we've been focusing, basically our entire efforts around lately, is to cracking the Meta code.
A lot of trial and error. How's it been going for you?
Trial and error.
Yeah, it's grueling. It's just like funnel hacking and tweaks, and you need the right landing page with the right message, with the right ad, with the right audience, and there's like a million things to test per test, and so you just gotta make your way through.
Keep going. And when you do better on Meta, you do better on Amazon, you do better across all your different platforms. So it really is the crown jewel.
Yeah.
So in 5 years from now, where do you see this going?
We want to be the household name of mushroom products. We chose our branding very specifically because we wanted to be accessible. So as I mentioned before, everything to us felt very earthy or ceremonial, but Troop, we wanted to be easy to relate to, somewhere in the middle that people wouldn't be scared to try a delicious gummy. And we want to be leaders in education. So yeah, we see us having way more products, really expanding our gummy line in 5 years, maybe even branching out into other categories as well.
I have faith. I mean, if you've gotten this far, I mean, this thing looks really... The product looks good, it sounds good, and you faced quite a few challenges along the way that you were able to get through. So
yeah.
I see no reason why you can't keep going. But all right, so for someone else who's listening and they're not as far along as you, maybe they're in the health space, maybe not, but what advice would you give them based on your experience so far?
Learn marketing. Learn it as early as you can. I would get Russell Bronson's book, ClickFunnels, the ClickFunnels Secrets. I would read that before you even start. I think that would have saved immense amounts of headache. And then I would say, yeah, meet people in your industry, talk to people who are successful, take their advice and model what they did exactly. I mean, try to do exactly what they're doing. You know, if they're not out doing live demos all the time, don't go out and do live demos all the time, you know? if they're just focusing on marketing, focus on marketing. They have probably gone through hell to figure out what they're doing now. So I think you could learn a lot just by talking to people in the industry. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Steph?
Yeah, I would say choose one thing and do it well. We try to do everything at the same time. Organic Instagram, organic TikTok, paid TikTok, all these Meta ads. Definitely pick one channel and master it, and then move on to the next channel. And also learn to do everything yourself, because we delegated out a lot. And when you don't have something mastered, I personally don't believe you should be delegating it out. So pick one thing, do it well, master it yourself, and then you can delegate it out and then move on to master the next channel.
I love that advice, because it's practical, it's applicable, and it's real. I mean, the issue is, you know, when you're like, well, I'll delegate this, but you don't know what you're talking about, it makes it really tough to communicate on it or to like judge the result.
Exactly.
When you're comfortable with it, then you could delegate it out, and then like it works. You know, you're comfortable with it, you understand it, you could speak to it, you could see that like it makes sense.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. No, that's good advice. If I wanted to try Troop, I wanted to experience mushrooms, the hottest superfood for myself, where do I go?
TryTroop.com. So TryTroop.com. And we actually have a package on its way to you.
Thank you.
So for your listeners who would like to try, we're offering a 20% promotion, unofficial 20, on TryTroop.com.
And I will include that in the show notes. Excellent. Perfect. Stephanie, anything to add, or should we end it there?
No, I think that's great.